Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PFS Global Support Podcast. Our mission is to provide support, guidance, and coping strategies for thousands upon thousands of men the world over afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. While medical researchers are learning more about this devastating condition in an effort to cure it, we're here to listen to your experiences, share them across borders, and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle this growing epidemic and put an end to it for future generations.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Today we have a really special show. We have someone coming by the name of Mr. John Davis. And what's going to be really good about this show is typically the show is about having PFS and having erectile dysfunction and low libido, depression, losing your, things with your family, losing family members because you don't want to be with them because you want to coop yourself up in a corner. And all that stuff is true, but we have somebody today as a guest who says he's literally helped himself up to 90% or to up to 95-90% of curing himself. Now, I'm not sure if that's true. I haven't tried his protocol, but he's here. He's been on several forums and websites sharing his sharing what he's done. So I'm really, really excited to have Mr. John Davis on today to talk about that and talk about what he went through, first of all, and how he got himself out of it. Now, again, I'm not a medical doctor, and neither is John Davis. This is his personal experience. And what I do want to do on the show every once in a while is get people on here to talk about not only what's been going on with them, but what they have done to help themselves with what they're going through. I mean, I think that's just as important as just getting the name out or getting it out of what PFS does to people. And stay tuned. Our next caller, next person that we're going to have on the show is going to be Dr. Erwin Goldstein from San Diego Sexual Medicine, which is my doctor. It's the person that really helped me out with my PFS, and I cannot wait to get him on the call and see what happens. But before we get Mr. John Davis on the line, I would like to tell you a little bit. There's a new study that came out that says that suggestions that sexual side effects appear early in finasteride therapy, then return to normal, is actually inaccurate, say researchers at Boston University School of Medicine. Let me tell you, this is from August 26th, coming from Somerset, New Jersey. They say 25% of men currently taking finasteride or dutasteride, which are brand names for Proscar and Avodart, for the treatment of benign prostate enlargement, appear not to benefit from taking these medications. Those prescribed Propecia or Avodart for male pattern hair loss are also at risk for adverse events elicited by these drugs. Now, these findings are part of an international collaborative review currently online in the Journal of Endocrine Reviews and Metabolic Disorders. And this was led by Dr. Abdulmaj Triash, professor of biochemistry and urology at Boston University of Medicine. This is really good stuff because people are starting to actually see that this is legitimate. This is not something that people who have PFS are making up in their mind, people that are just kind of imagining what's happening. This is actually getting studied, and they're showing that this is actually what's chemically happening in our bodies. Another thing that's been happening is they say finasteride and dutasteride are the family of drugs known as 5-A reductase inhibitors, which is 5-ARIs. And they function by inhibiting the conversion of testosterone to 5-A dehydrotestosterone, which is 5-ADHT, as well as several other critical steroid hormones. And by reducing the concentration of 5-DHT in the prostate volume decreases, thus improving urinary flow. But the problem is, in some patients, these effects can remain even after stopping therapy. Okay, let me tell you that again. In some patients, these effects can remain even after stopping therapy. I'm one of those people. And according to these researchers, the suggestion that sexual side effects appear early in the first 6 months of therapy and return to baseline is inaccurate. Okay, it's inaccurate. So for people out there that are listening, I know there's some people that go on Reddit and some of those other social media sites and go, oh, this stuff is a crock of, crap and all that. go check out the studies that are coming out, okay? You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to anybody else, but go check out the stuff. And just, I understand that if this doesn't seem like something that can actually happen, I never thought it could, but it's happening to me and many others. Matter of fact, I have my guest coming on, Mr. John Davis, that's going to talk about his story and also what he's done to help himself. So let's see if we can get Mr. John Davis on the line right now. John, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on here. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. Yeah, welcome, John. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, actually.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for getting on this podcast with me. I think you're going to do a lot of people great service with what you're going to share. But before we begin, let me ask you, tell us a little bit about your journey of what happened with you when you had PFS and how it started.
Okay. Well, it's been a long journey, actually. I took Propecia for 10 years. Started back in 2003, I believe. And I had no, this medicine had any kind of side effects whatsoever. It was never told by, you know, the doctors or anything like that. And so it wasn't until probably 2010 that I started having, you know, all kinds of different problems, you know, neurological, sexual, all that stuff. You know, you name it, on the list, I had it. I'd seen over 11 different doctors trying to plug the holes in the boat, so to speak. And nobody knew what was going on. So that's kind of the miserable part of my story. I didn't actively start trying to get better until I found out, which was about 2012. And then I just went full force. I just poured myself into, you know, everything. I'd lost my career, lost my job, lost my wife and kids, cars, house. I mean, I'd pretty much lost everything, really. Ended up on disability. So that gave me free time. I lost the free time to work on myself.
Before you continue, when you said you lost your family and you lost your job, why would that happen?
Well, it happened because of the changes in behavior, the lack of having a sex life, the, you know, neurological problems, the loss of a job. I mean, if you add up all of the little symptoms and all the little issues all together, I mean, what wife in their right mind would want to stay with a guy that's going through this crap, you know? I mean, I can't blame her. I'm bummed about it. I feel like, you know, betrayed and but, I mean, I can't really blame her for that. I wouldn't want to hang out with myself either in that condition.
Yeah, I completely get that. My very similar thing with my wife. I literally turn into a zombie sexually, cognitively. And for some reason, my wife stuck it out. And it was because we were just dating at the time. And she saw the shift happen dramatically. So she knew something was up. So at that time, she went and, you know, connected me with a doctor. But so I completely get that. And so now with all that, you went to, you said 12 different doctors as well. Let me ask you with that, what were they telling you? All these doctors, did they have any idea of what's going on with you?
No, many of the tests and things that were run just came up with no clear indicator as to what was happening. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the lowered body temperature, right? I had my body temperature had been lowered so much so that my ex-wife had been buying me flannel-lined pants just to keep my legs warm.
Wow.
And I live in San Diego. So, you know, when I go to the doctor to talk and see about that, you know, he's checking, you know, thyroid or, you know, other organs in the body that and really no conclusive evidence came up to be you know, to point to any specific type of treatment. But if you take the conglomeration of all of the little bits and parts and pieces of all the different doctor visits, you can see they all line up with the side effects of finasteride. So, yeah, that was my experience going from the different doctors. Nobody knew why. Nobody had an answer. Psychologists, you know, would misdiagnose with attention deficit or bipolar. You know, they were just reaching for straws. And every time I got some kind of a diagnosis or something, I would get excited, like, cool, finally there's something I can put my finger on, and then I'd turn around and that's not it.
Go ahead.
And so it wasn't until, I mean, I was doing some research online for attention deficit disorder because my son has it. And that's where I found out about Propecia. There was a guy that was describing a story about how he lost his job, his wife, and all the symptoms he was going through. He mentioned that he was taking Propecia. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went off, and I was like, oh, man, that's just not good. Because that was the only medicine I had not stopped taking at the time. And so that's where my journey to dig in the research, you know, really took off. So, yeah, that's really the background. But the good news, I mean, hopefully there's guys listening that, you know, wanting to get better and need a little bit of hope, I can tell you for sure it is possible to recover, and I mean in a big way. I'm 49 now, but when I started this whole process, I was 44. So it's been 5 years for me. Only really about 2 years have been actively hardcore recovery focused. And there's a lot of different things that you can do to recover. There's a lot of different protocols. There's a lot of different opinions on Propecia Help about how to go about it. So I can't say that what works for me is going to work for anybody else. But I can tell you that if you're dedicated to beating this thing, and you know you're willing to sacrifice the time, spend the money that you need to, and have this daily focus of kicking its ass, I mean, you're going to do it. I mean, I could go through a lot of the different things if you want. I don't know where you want to go with this conversation, but I could go through some of the things if you like.
Absolutely. I'm going through PFS myself, and when I talked to you the first time, you really piqued my curiosity, because when you're saying that you're pretty much, 90%, 95%? Cured yourself from PFS, that got me thinking, wow, I need to know about this. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners would be very interested in that as well. I know there's going to be a lot of skeptics out there. I want to make it very clear that this is John's story. This is not, he's not a medical doctor. He's not telling anybody to do this. This is his experience. This is what he's gone through. Use your own discretion. If you need medical assistance, obviously go to a medical doctor for that. But while we're talking, yes, I'm absolutely curious as to what you've done. I've been following along with some of the people on Propecia Help and some other websites about what they've done, but I'm really, really curious as to what you've done. So if you don't mind sharing your story, I'd really love to hear it.
Okay. Well, bear with me. I'm still on my first cup of coffee, so I'm not exactly wound up yet.
No worries.
I started out with TRT, and I went to see Dr. Goldstein in San Diego. At the time, we didn't really know all that much about recovering from PFS, and it was a lot of the doctors were still kind of, you know, shooting at a missing target or shooting at a moving target. And so the first round attempt at TRT did not work, so I had to stop doing that. And that's when I lost my marriage and everything fell apart. So I decided to go try the natural route. I'd lost my trust for doctors and everything. So I started out just by taking long walks every day, just getting exercise, getting outside, getting outdoors. I had to do something about the depression and the doldrums, because it's so easy to just sit on the couch and get stuck, you know, in that rut, and you just can't get out of it. Fatigue was a really bad one. There are lots of vitamins and supplements you can take to help treat a lot of the symptoms that we're going through. And I've got a list of about 100 of them. I don't take all of them every day, but I have a database of all of the different vitamins and research and minerals, that I've accumulated over the lifespan of this whole recovery thing. So if anybody wants to send me a PM or get a hold of, the show, I'd be glad to share my spreadsheet and, what each element does and why. So anyway, start out with walking, get a little exercise, join a gym, start lifting weights slowly at first. And then this is where the diet comes in. I avoided sugar, no alcohol, no gluten, didn't eat any bread. Let's see what else. Yeah, even the fake sweeteners, don't use any of the, false sweeteners either. So avoiding those three really accelerated the fat loss. And the reason that was important is because the estradiol, is stored in the body fat and gets converted into the estrogen at some later point. I could be misspoken on how I pronounce those two. But,
yeah.
But I figured if I could knock off the body fat, it'd make it a heck of a lot easier for my body to handle the increase in estrogen or the estrogen dominance, which is, part of this problem. So working out, having a really good diet, I mean, those two things are almost free, and I think anybody can do them. Then there's the long list of vitamins and supplements. If you want to, get your muscle mass back, you're going to, probably want to have the whey protein and take a lot of the different amino acids and supplements that bodybuilders take. I would highly recommend going down that route because it will make you feel better. Your body will get in better shape. You'll get your confidence back. Your sex drive comes back. There's just, it's just incredible what's happened to me.
Now, John, quick question. How much did you weigh before? Were you overweight and you worked out and you lost the weight, or tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I got up to, I think, about 190, 194, something like that. And I was not working out. I had at the time I had a wife and two kids and a full-time job. I didn't spend any time in the gym. So I was pretty much just kind of, chunky. But I had accumulated that fat weight because of Propecia. There are no people in my family that are chunky, on my mom's side or dad's side. So for me to be 190 and kind of chubby like that with a fairly good diet is not normal. But anyways, I was 190. And so throughout the process of losing fat and gaining weight at the same time, I've gotten down to about 178 right now, which is not a lot. But if you saw the measurements and whatnot of fat loss to muscle gain, I mean, you can see it's just kind of I tip the scales in the other direction. So I'm at 178 right now, and I'm trying to add even more muscle. I'm trying to bulk up a little bit, but I tore some tendons, so I got to wait.
I'll tell you, with my PFS, I was an avid, I love working out, hiking, and things like that. And what would you tell people, like for such as me at the time when I was feeling like crap, I didn't want to get up to go work out. I pushed myself. My wife now, but my girlfriend at the time, would make me work out with her, even though I'd literally fall asleep if I laid down to do a push-up. But what would you tell people that are at that stage where they're so exhausted, they're like, yeah, right, I'm not going to lift a weight or do anything?
Right. Well, here's what I would tell them. I would say identify your most favorite type of music and go on to your playlist or whatever. Pick up some of their most favorite songs that get your blood pumping and get your body moving, no matter what it is. Go on to, iTunes or online and search for some new music that's of your style. That playing in your ears at a fairly loud volume is going to be a motivator to get your ass moving. And that's what I did. And I tell you what, I worked out for, you know, hours because of, you know, having the good music, and it just kept going and it was awesome. So music's a motivator.
That's funny you said that. That's actually one of the few things that kept me going, was having music either in the car or on my iPod and working out. And here's the thing, what I really noticed too with what you're saying is putting on the music and going on a walk. You don't have to start with using the heaviest weights either. Just start moving your body. That's what I realized when I was going through it. You know, going from working out every other day and hiking every other day to not wanting to do anything at all, starting small was one of the biggest things. I tried to go big and, you know, put on my music, go full blast, and I got exhausted and I got, you know, defeated. But I think what you're saying is really, really valuable. Putting on music and just doing something to start. And what it does is it anchors you, that when you're putting on music, it is exciting you and getting you that energy to do something at least. So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a double whammy there. You get the good feelings and the good vibes from music. And once your body gets moving, it starts building those endorphins, and you start feeling better. And that was the quickest way out of depression. The quickest. Yeah. I quit. I stopped all the antidepressants and all the other junk, and no anxiety medicine. You know, I quit all of that stuff. And just diet and exercise and vitamins and supplements, that really did all the healing. I'd have to give more credit to that than to anything a doctor's ever done.
So, you know, and I've spoken to several people that have PFS, and that's actually the first thing that they drop is their health. It's really interesting. They'll say, I don't have any reason to do anything anymore. And I go, well, what did you typically do? Oh, I'd go out with my friends. I'd go hiking. I'd go walking. I'd go to the mall and walk. And those are the things actually that is very, very necessary. And they would say, oh, I don't want to eat good food anymore. And the truth is, I think it all works out for me at least. When I'm working out, I tend to eat better. When I don't work out, I tend to eat like crap. I don't know if that's like that with you. But there's a lot of cascading things that happen when you just start to work out for your body. And what are your thoughts on that?
It's totally true. I would tend to gravitate more towards a celery or some kind of fresh veggie if I'm working out. But yeah, if I'm just sitting around, I'm going for the ice cream, man.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So let me ask you, John. So working out is the number one thing is get your body moving, get some more oxygen in your blood, get some, you know, get your muscles a little sore, just kind of get out of that state of being at home miserable. Would you say that's all? Or what else would you say?
No, I would say that's step number one.
Okay.
I looked at this, you know, when I was going through the Propecia Help site and just collecting and gathering information when I first started the recovery, I saw there was so many different pathways and so many different avenues and trains of thought. I just started kind of collecting bits and pieces and parts from everywhere, and using what seemed, you know, backed up by science. And so I hit it from multiple different sides. So you've got the diet, the exercise, the vitamins and supplements, the assistance, if needed, from a medical doctor as far as any kind of prescriptions, if you're doing TRT or if you need some control of estrogen. Those are critical. I mean, you got to be taking something to get your T back up to the right levels and your estrogen under control. So those four. Then there's other protocols talk about the methylation, the HPTA axis. Let's see, there's the iodine solution. There's cleansing, you know, doing colon cleanse, doing enemas, fasting. All of those things are on my list. I didn't just pick a couple of them. I did every single freaking one of them. And it's kind of like taking, you know, C.D. Nutt said this. He said, it's kind of like you'll take two steps forward and one step back, and then three steps forward and maybe, one or two steps back. So it's kind of a yo-yo. I didn't experience a gradual progression in happiness and recovery. What I experienced was ups and downs. And I think all the guys should expect that. That's going to happen. You just got to know that, that the next up is just right around the corner and just to keep going, you know? But you got to hit it from all angles. If you want to speedy, if you want to speed things up, you'll take, I mean, I would even, in hindsight, I would have taken a loan out to pay for all of this stuff that I needed to do in order to get better.
Yeah.
My health was worth it. It was worth more than anything else I had.
One thing I like about what you're saying as well is I started to do the very same thing. I started becoming a human experiment for myself because I wanted to get better. And what that actually did is it got me away from being depressed and kind of victimizing myself as to like there's nothing I can do. And I love what you said, the two steps forward, one step back, because it became kind of a game for me. It's like, oh, this is working, this is not working. And it got me out of my thinking about myself and my misery, and it got me to finding some sort of success, some sort of results, something, and it became kind of exciting, you know? And, I don't know if that's what you were trying to say, but that's what I got out of what you're saying, because that's one of the things that kept me going. It's like, oh, this is not working. And, you know, my wife got involved, and I would start writing other people and asking what they've done. And that's actually why you're on the radio show right now. It's because I still continue to experiment.
Yeah, that's a good word. I mean, I would consider myself my own guinea pig, and but you know, I did do quite a bit of due diligence before I would decide to take something or go down a pathway. And I would read through all of the different posts on the forum, and opinions, and then look at the scientific research to see whether or not it was going to be situation. So I didn't just, jump into things and say, okay, well, let me try this and see what happens. I actually, did a little bit of homework first, and then I wouldn't just start on it. I would put it in my spreadsheet. I would, put down the description, what exactly does this vitamin or supplement or process do? And, how much am I taking anyway? I kept detailed records of everything, just so I could be sure that, with the memory loss, going through PFS, when you forget about stuff, you might forget to take your vitamins. You'll forget to reorder something. That's why I had to track all this stuff. I had to keep a good list of everything. And then as I run out, I would take inventory to make sure I get my stuff back in the cabinet. All of these things combined have really changed my life and such an amazing way. It's hard to describe. If you saw a picture of me before and saw a picture now, you would just be blown away.
So let me ask you, when you're saying, your life has changed, what has improved? What do you see that's different from where you were?
Well, definitely physical appearance has changed considerably. And I'll take a step back and say that, I only claim to be like 90 to 95% recovered from this because I've experienced the accelerated aging of my fascia. Previously, I would always look much younger than what anyone else thought. And so that's one of the things that still bugs the heck out of me is the wrinkles and stuff on my face have and the dryness and whatnot are still a problem. I'm still working on that. I'm still trying to roll back the clock a little bit. But as far as improvements go physically, I guess you could say hard body. I've got about 10% body fat now. Probably slender. I say you could say I'm a little bit bigger than a swimmer's build now. My mental state is like tip top. I mean, I feel good. I'm, positive. I've got happy things going on in my life. I've got a girlfriend that's a couple decades younger than me. and we're having a great time, having a great summer. You know, going out and doing things outside, going surfing, going biking, you know, just enjoying life. And, you know, that's those are the big differences. Whereas, you know, previously I would just sit around and watch TV. I'd get depressed because I felt bad, but I wouldn't do anything about it. I would just mope around and be in a pity party. And, you know, I did that for a long time, and I decided I finally had enough of it. So I think, you know, everybody in their own head, they there are things that you know that you like. You might not be interested in some of your hobbies right now, but if you take just a couple steps, take just a little bit of effort, you know, go down and go in the garage, do something that you used to do that you like, and just spend maybe half an hour on it. And you'll see those little attempts to do things will help turn you around.
I have to absolutely agree with you. One thing that I realized as well when I've spoken to several people with PFS, I ask them, well, what would you do once you're cured? They would say, well, I would go back and hang out with my friends. I would hang out with my family. I'd go back and play tennis. And it's funny because, you know, why wait? Why wait until you think you need to get better in order to go back to a life? And one thing I realize a lot of the people is they get on these forums and they get really depressed and they hear other people's stories, which it is, it's very depressing, and they just confirm it that, yep, that's exactly where I'm at. And so one of the questions I always ask people is, if it was gone today, what would you do? And if the answer comes back, I would go hang out with friends, I would go to nightclubs, I would go listen to music again, I would go back to my hobbies, start today. Like, you know, if John Davis waited until he got better to work out, well, that wouldn't work. He had to work out in order to get better. That's kind of, I think that's kind of the gig. It's don't wait for it to get better. You need to actually take the steps to get better again. And if you're going to wait for a doctor to come up with a cure, or if you're going to wait for someone else to give the answer, I think that's the wrong way to look at this.
Yeah, you'd be wasting your time, in my opinion. The doctors, I mean, they're doing what they can, but of course, their motivations are for different reasons. They're, you know, we're our own best resource because we know what our body feels like. We know what's going on inside us. We know what we need to do in order to get better. And, you know, I'm a firm believer diet and nutrition has got the vast majority of all the solutions anybody needs. I mean, you know, just compare our healthcare system with, you know, China or any of the others around the world. There's a lot of the natural herbs and supplements. I mean, there's got to be some validity in all of that if there's so many more people using it compared to the United States. So be open-minded. I would just say that. Be open-minded about, you know, other potential solutions. Here's a good one. Just right off the bat, I can think of, if you've got fatigue, you can't get your butt off the couch, go buy some rhodiola from your health food store. It's just an herb, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A. It is a fatigue fighter, and that should get your butt moving a little bit better. And it's cheap. So it's little solutions like that that'll get you going and don't cost much.
So, John, let me ask you, I mean, you told us a pretty good amount of stuff, workout, diet, supplements, TRT, which is it's testosterone replacement therapy for people that don't know what that is, iodine, colon cleansing, fasting. That's I'm sure, a lot of it, some of it. My question to you is, for people that are listening, where do they start? Like, let's say they work out 3 times a day. And then what? How would they get some resources to know what to do next?
Well, I would use the Propecia Help site, and I would go personally. If I were to do this all over again, I would have taken different pathways. But if I were to start today again with a bad case of PFS, I would go the route of cleaning my gut out and getting the right kind of probiotics and bacteria established again. There's one of the users on the Propecia Help site, I think, really has some solid information on the connection between our gut health and our mental connections. And I believe it's Brong Fog Boy, I think is the username. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but anyways, I would recommend reading the information about those posts, because your gut health has a lot to do with how your body's going to feel. If your body can't absorb the nutrients in the food, then you're not going to get the benefit of eating the healthy food. So you want to clean your pipes first, essentially. That's where I would start. Get your gut health in check and follow the advice on the Propecia Help site. Do the things you need to do. It's very inexpensive and cheap to go that route. And, start with fasting. That's the recommended way to do it. You start with fasting as long as you can go. And then you only go for the organic, the natural foods. Stay away from sugar, dairy, bread, alcohol. That alone will get you on the right track.
You know, something that you said that really got my head spinning is there are people that have never taken PFS that have had these symptoms because of their diet. And I think the people that have PFS are doing themselves a disservice by not foreseeing what's actually happening to their body. Because if you're in perfect condition and you're still having PFS symptoms, then you can find other ways to help yourself. But the thing is, when you have too many variables in the system, your diet's bad, you're not sleeping properly, you're not working out, and then you go, you know what, it has to be PFS. That can also be a problem. I think that, you know, for someone like me, I did eat properly. I did work out, and, you know, and I had a great life. I had a great, you know, a girlfriend that I was going to marry. And so when my wife now saw that, she knew something was up, like, because all the other variables were not like, you know what, honey, you haven't worked out in a long time. That's the problem. Or, you know what, honey, your diet's crap. So she instantly knew that something was wrong outside of just me being in my head. And so this is, you know, what John is telling you, it's important to weed all that stuff out first anyways. Even if, yes, you know, you're going through what you're going through, you need to know that that's not the problem in the first place. Because who knows? You may have a mild case of PFS, and it was your diet and your gut health that was really screwing you up. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with that train of thought. And, you know, if you're already a healthy person, already doing those things, then your next step really is going to be to get your lab work done to find out where your hormone levels are at, and talk to your doctor about what kind of solutions there are to bring those back in balance. That would be what I would do after, you know, cleaning up the diet and starting the exercise. Because that exercise, if you're doing weights or you're doing squats or sprints, you can boost your own testosterone that way, especially if you're focused on eating the foods that also boost testosterone. But for people, you know, around my age group, I need, you know, a lot more help than just the foods and working out. So, yeah, you may need some assistance from a doctor to take that next step.
So for people that, you know, he was talking about the Brong, what's the guy's name? The Brong?
Brong Fog Boy, BRONGFOG, yeah.
Okay, so if you have trouble finding that, you can email me at pfsglobalradio@gmail.com, which is also on our Blog Talk Radio website, and I will send you the link to that. It was actually, you sent it to me, and it was really, really helpful to a point that tomorrow I'm having a conversation with a nutritionist to get my, I'm going to get stool samples done. And I'm going to start from scratch and see what it is. I think a lot of people that have helped themselves started from the gut, leaky gut, and having issues with their the parasites in their stomach, which they're finding out, I guess, is that finasteride actually messes with the gut health to begin with, which a lot of us already don't have good guts with American diets that we eat. So, you know, if you've been on antibiotics as well and things like that, your gut's probably – your gut needs some check. You need to check your gut. And so I completely agree with you. And so you're saying, before we wrap up, let me make sure we're on the same page. So first and foremost, start working out, whether that's starting, small, go on walks, go outside, take breaths, do something. If you can wait, lift the weights. Your diet's really important. Start changing your diets to organic, natural, pesticide-free meats and organic vegetables. Supplements that, again, if you want a list of his supplements, you can email me at pfsglobalradio@gmail.com. And if you'd be so kind, would you be willing to share some of the supplements you used?
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the whole spreadsheet, and then you can just share it as whoever asks for it.
Great. I'll do that. And then now TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, I would, make sure that you're talking to a doctor about that, because one of the doctors gave me testosterone when I was going through it, and I'm 36 now, and he was injecting me with testosterone, and I went to Dr. Goldstein. He said, that's a great way for you to be infertile, because if you're trying to have kids, you don't replace your testosterone. And so I'm on Clomid now. But just be very cautious. Your age has to be in there. What you want to do? Are you planning on having kids and things like that? It's really important. So make sure you talk to a qualified health practitioner for that. And then you said fasting and iodine colon cleansing. So if you had to tell someone right now the three top things, would it be workout, diet, and supplements for someone to start?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I was just gonna say that's true. Yeah, that's essentially that's what you're gonna need because you're. I mean, you have to start there with your gut health, because no matter what you put in your mouth, if the lining of your stomach and your intestines can't absorb the nutrients in order to heal your body, then you're just you're just excreting it and it's passing through and you're wasting your money.
Yep.
So yeah, I would start with those three. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, we're counting down now. Any last things you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh yeah, One last thing, just to give some guys some hope. I'd spent a long time at the bottom of the pit, and I tell you what, after all of this working out, diet, exercise, it is incredible to be, almost 50 and having 20-year-old girls checking you out. It is. I just can't describe how awesome that feels. My girlfriend is she's in her late 20s, and I'm almost 50. So it's an incredible world. Once you get your body in shape, man, things just freaking turn around. It's amazing. I'm at my age. I'm having sex nearly every day. You can recover from PFS. It's possible. I'm a witness.
Oh,
so hang in there.
That's awesome to hear. I cannot reiterate that enough about the working out part. That's literally the only thing that saved me from going through some deep depression, probably, is the fact that I continued moving forward and working out and continued living my life as if I didn't have it the best I could. I knew in the back of my head what I was going through was one of the worst things I've ever gone through, but there's two ways I see that you can look through life. One is, the theory of living, and then there's living. The theory of living is sitting behind the computer all day and finding out how miserable everybody is. I see a lot of people that are in the PFS community that are living the theory of life, which is sitting behind the computer and just moping with everybody else. I prefer, and it sounds like you do too, John, is living life instead of living in a theory of life. Go out there and start living your life again.
Yeah, exactly. And I was guilty of that initially at first too. I was going on to the on the Propecia Help site and reading through the different horror stories, and then I was commiserating with how miserable other people were to my situation. And then after a while, I realized, wait a minute, all I'm doing is really confirming that I'm in the same boat with a bunch of other miserable people. So how are we going to get out of it, And once I changed my focus to start gathering bits of information to put together, some kind of a task list. What kind of products do I need to buy? What kind of activities do I need to do? I started writing those things down, And, you know, that's what started my recovery, was using the Propecia Help site and taking advice, doing it, and sticking to it, not picking pieces and parts, or not saying, oh, I can't afford it, but actually doing it no matter what it takes. It bums me out when I see guys, you know, they get some advice and they'll only try maybe two parts of something that has five parts and then say, oh, well, it didn't work. That just really rubs me the wrong way. You know, if you're going to do it, you know, treat it like your life freaking depends on it. And there are rewards at the end of the tunnel, but it's up to you to do it, not the doctor.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And also, when I'm guessing when we're saying change your diet or workout, we're not saying for a week or 2 weeks, even for 3 weeks. Give yourself a minimum of a couple months. Just go and say, you know what, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to spend the next couple months just diligently working out, changing my diet.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a fair try. I think that's something that, you know, we're accustomed to maybe, you know, I'm guilty of it too. So I want to make it clear. I'm telling you my own experience. I'm not giving out, you know, some sage advice. The truth of the matter is there was times where I would want to, after a week, give up and say, this is not working. But you can't tell in a week what's going on. It didn't take you a week, you know, to get the symptoms. So give yourself a chance.
That's right. It takes time. It's going to take some time. It's just one day at a time, you know. That's all you can do.
Well, John, I want to say thank you first and foremost for being on the show. This has actually been probably one of my favorite shows today. So thank you so much. And then also, I wanted to say, if for people that are listening, I hope this is valuable to you. I hope you're getting some hope. And I hope, my biggest hope, is that we get more callers like you on the show that have been, you know, really messed up from PFS and are on their way to recovering. I think that's something that really is close, near and dear to my heart, is not just talking about how miserable this is, because it is miserable. I mean, you know firsthand, I know firsthand that this is not something that I wish on my worst enemies. But with that being said, there is some hope. If you have any questions, if you want to ask John any questions, you can email me at pfsglobalradio@gmail.com. And if you're open to it, if you may get some questions, would it be okay if I forward you those questions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And one last thing I think might be helpful, it depends on where you live, but if you can find somebody in your local area that is on the map that also has PFS, it's really helpful to personally know somebody and to actually talk with them, meet with them, and share what you're going through, what you're trying. Because if you've got, it's kind of like having a workout partner. You can push each other to get better. If you can find somebody in your area or just even stay in touch over email or whatever, having somebody to keep you accountable for your plan is definitely going to help. So anyways, I think that could help.
Oh, that's great advice as well. And I speak to people with PFS as well. You know what? Spend 10 minutes talking about how shitty it is for, you know, 10 minutes, and then go on and find ways to support each other. I think that's really important. And not to say that, you know, if you're down in the dumps, the people that will understand you the most is people that went through PFS. Just make sure that you're talking to somebody that can move you, you know, to a better place, not just someone you can speak an hour to and talk about how miserable you are, because I've been there too. And man, that can be draining as well. So make sure that you're lifting the other person's spirit up when they're down, and vice versa. I think that's really important. And that's wonderful advice. And how can they connect with other people that have PFS? Do you know a way of that?
Well, somebody put together a map of people with PFS on the Propecia Help site, and it's like there's like little pins just dropped all over the planet as far as who's got what based on their user ID and location that they shared with on Propecia Help. And I think it turns out that your brother actually got a hold of me that way.
That's right.
And that's how we became friends. So if you take a look at that map, where you can see geographically where other people have PFS, you might be able to identify the username of somebody and reach out to them.
Yeah, and that's right. My brother connected with you, and that's why we're on the phone right now. There are, you know, it's great to make connections for many, many reasons. One is, you know, hearing about your story. I would have never heard about your story and the recovery you made if it wasn't for my brother going on that site. So, yeah, that is wonderful, wonderful advice. And, again, thanks again. This was John Davis talking about what he went through and how he recovered. If you want to get a hold of me, again, it's pfsglobalradio@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. John, thank you so much for being on the show.
And, my pleasure.
Would you be open to maybe in the near future telling us how you're continuing to recover? Would that be something you'd be open to do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I figure, you know, I want to pay it forward. Any time I can help people in this community, that's part of my job, I think.
Oh, you rock, man. Thank you so much. And our next episode is going to be another great episode, and it's going to be with Dr. Irwin Goldstein. We're going to have him on the show, so stay tuned for that. And again, John Davis, thank you so much for getting on the show, and thank you for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to PFS Global Support, where we offer coping strategies to thousands upon thousands of men afflicted with post-finasteride syndrome. We're here to share your experiences across borders and learn firsthand how finasteride can negatively impact not only those who've taken the prescription medication, but their loved ones as well. Together, we can tackle PFS and put an end to this growing epidemic for future generations.